The biggest issue that I had to deal with in my journey through raw foodism has been actually myself. People often talk about cooked food cravings, how they battle them, and I definitely went through that, and I'm still going through this at some level. Even though I've been raw for nearly 3 years. From the point of view of a mathematician, the way I tackle a problem is I try to understand the problem, I try to analyze it, and then try to find solutions. And then I develop an algorithm which is a collection of various steps that need to be taken to overcome a problem, and the idea is that you apply that algorithm and you reach the solution. Okay, so what about cooked food cravings? Why do we experience that problem? And when I analyzed that, I came to a conclusion that there are two levels of this issue. One is physical and another is emotional. The two different levels, they relate with one another. They interplay with one another. And they are both important. So what about the physical? Well, I found that when I feed my body well, I'm less likely to experience cravings. And then the next question is, well, what does it mean to feed my body well? And the answer to this question is it's actually not to feed your body well. It does not mean to follow various rules or guidelines as specified by World Health Organization or maybe by scientists in the nutrition related areas, or various gurus in nutrition. To feed your body well means to follow your body, follow the needs of your body. And how can you find out about the needs of your body? Well, you can read the books and learn a lot about the nutrition and vitamins and supplements and all sorts of things, but you will not learn about the needs of your body by reading those books. The only way you can learn about the needs of your body is by observing your own body. So for example, if you eat something and after that you feel tired or bloated or extremely dehydrated, then clearly this is a sign from your body that is telling you that this type of food is not optimal. This is not what your body wants you to feed it. Similarly, if you place something on your tongue and it tastes bitter, then clearly your body doesn't like it. Your mind might, because you may like some very salty or very spicy foods, and you're used to eating them, you've done it many times in the past, and you enjoy eating these type of foods. But from the point of view of your body, if something doesn't feel good on your tongue, then clearly your body doesn't like it. furthermore, if something is very stimulating, well, you may enjoy some stimulation, but clearly it's again not something that your body likes, because your body does not like being stimulated, because the end result will be always your body feeling tired. For example, I used to drink coffee, and I like the taste, I still like the smell of coffee, but I observed that if I have coffee, I feel tired. I might feel stimulated initially for some time, and I might be even able to concentrate on something at a higher level than usually, but the end result is me being tired. I won't be able to sleep peacefully if I had coffee, so I can't have it. I prefer not to have coffee anymore. So as I progressed in my raw food journey, I discovered that the foods that my body likes most are fruit and tender greens. And when I say fruit, I mean fruit in biological sense, so sweet fruit, as well as non-sweet fruits such as tomato, capsicum, zucchini, and cucumber. If I could, I would eat fruit all day, and perhaps salad in the evening, or coconuts in the evening. And I've been doing it for a little while, but unfortunately, the prices in Hobart, prices of fruit, are really really high. So I had to cut back on my consumption of on fruit a little, and what we're doing now, Luke and I, we are establishing our garden. We have a big backyard, and we're planting fruit trees and various veggies. So our long-term plan is to have fruit trees in our backyard, and therefore reduce our expenditures in that way. I have probably used the word body so far so many times that it could be statistically significant, but you know, it is so important for me. It's this understanding that that I can feed myself by simply following the natural instincts that are there, that I can observe. It simplified the raw food is for me so much. It's become so easy, such a relief to understand how things work. Everything fell into place, and life became so much easier. So this is why I emphasize that so much. It is about, instead of giving your power away to textbooks or gurus, you let your own body, you let your own self guide you. So let's come back now to what I started with, that is cooked food cravings, or perhaps even more general, our struggle with raw foods, which I said can be observed at two levels, one physical and the other emotional. And as I said, the physical aspect can be addressed when you feed your body well. And to feed your body well means to observe your body and follow your natural instincts. Now, what about the emotional and I feel here like a big Pandora box is opening, because there is so much involved here. And I don't know what to start with. I really have to organize my thoughts on it. The first thing that comes to my mind is how I used to bash myself for not being perfect, for not being 100% raw, for perhaps having eaten some cooked food, and then I would bash myself emotionally for that, feel really bad about myself, feel guilty, and so then I would struggle and try to be raw, and then I would manage to be raw eventually, and then I would feel good until another moment comes where I eat something cooked and then I feel bad again. And it's like a never-ending cycle of ups and downs. So I ask myself, how do I break the cycle? Clearly what I've been doing so far is not working, because you know, when I try to achieve something, even though, you know, I think it's good, I think it's great, to be raw. I want to be raw, so I strive to be raw, but I can't do it. Something is not working. And then I think about my experience when I was in my 20s. And I've been a Christian, and I was trying to follow certain rules, which were beautiful. I thought they were beautiful. They were great rules. I was trying to be good, but I couldn't. And I was struggling, and I've been experiencing a cycle of ups and downs. Ups when I felt really good about myself, when I was being a good person and trying to follow the rules and read the Bible and be a good Christian, etc., etc. And then a moment would come when everything would collapse and I would feel totally depressed. And then one day I thought, well, something is not working. It can't be me, because, you know, I'm trying, I'm doing my best. There's something that I'm doing wrong, though. And then I decided, okay, let's have an experiment. Let's try to ditch all the rules, and let's just live my life, just relax, just observe the world, observe myself, observe how I feel, and everything that is happening in the moment, and make my choices based not on the things that I should do, but based on what I want to do, based on what I choose to do. And I spoke to this about this idea to my close friend, a Christian, who was trying to discourage me from making such a decision. He thought what I was doing is wrong, because I had things given to me on a plate and I was not willing to take them. Instead of, I was going to do some silly experiment. Anyway, I went and did it. And after living like this for about 6 months or so, one day I realized that I was happy. I wasn't depressed anymore. I was feeling really good. I was feeling so peaceful. And the best of all was that I was doing things that 6 months earlier I thought that I should be doing, but I couldn't achieve that goal. Now I was doing all these effortlessly. It was amazing experience. It was an amazing discovery to realize that once I let myself make my own choices, then things will fall into place. I can experience bliss. I can experience peace and happiness without any struggle at all. Interestingly, I came to a very similar conclusion in my journey in raw food. I realized that by trying to achieve some goal that was not really mine, I was making my life hard, and this is not the way to be. This is not the way I want to be. And in fact, it's not even necessary. The biological instincts are in me to guide me, to help me go where I need to go. And trying to follow my mind based on the things that I've read in the books, it is turning things upside down. That's not the way to be. I realized that by trying to follow the rules, I am in fact creating an unnecessary struggle. And the struggle is born when I force some patterns onto myself rather than let my life unfold in a totally spontaneous way. Once I made an interesting observation when I decided, because I love fruit, I decided once I'll eat fruit only for about 2 weeks. And when I did it, that then one day there was something else than fruit, that I think it was falafel or maybe raw pizza, something like that. And I thought, oh no, I can't have it yet, because I decided that I was going to have fruit only for 2 weeks. And in that instant, a struggle was born. And yeah, I really didn't like that experience. And that also helped me realize that it is better not to make decisions like that, to follow some regime for some amount of time. I love my freedom, and I think that's the bottom of the problem. I like to be free, and I hate anything enforced on me that would restrict that freedom. More recently, my family has been through some financial difficulties, and I realized after calculating the cost of fruit that I can't buy fruit anymore. Well, not this type of fruit that is expensive here in Hobart. So, for example, I can't have bananas anymore because they are too expensive. Watermelon or some other fruit that normally I would like to eat. And we even started considering installing a stove and perhaps eating some steamed veggies or maybe even potatoes and beans. But when I was contemplating that and I visualized myself eating potatoes and beans, I just hated the idea. And I think steamed veggies is something that I probably could put up with. But when I realized that I can't have fruit anymore, not to the extent that I used to have, then I realized that I really want it. And when I was contemplating going back to cooked in some form, I realized that I really didn't want doing it anymore. So interestingly, you know, in the past I would have situations where I would want, I would crave some cooked food, or I would think about having some cooked food because I couldn't have it. Now that I came to a decision that, okay, I'll let myself have some cooked food again, I don't want it anymore, and the struggle has disappeared. So it seems to me that the struggle, I create a struggle by deciding that I can't have something, then whatever I can't have, I want. So I think it is better for me to avoid decisions like that, that I'm not going to have something, because the end result of this is a struggle. So I do only what's comfortable, and also I avoid classifying myself, my beliefs under any name, because that could limit me to having to follow some set of preconceived ideas, and I don't want to do it. I prefer to, instead of following some set of rules, I prefer to follow my natural instincts and observe the patterns that are spontaneously manifested. For example, I observed that if I eat unripe fruit for the sake of reducing the costs, when I buy some poor quality fruit, then I actually feel hungry. Unripe fruit does not satisfy my hunger, and if I do that for longer, then I'll feel so hungry, then I'll eat anything, even cooked food. Similarly, I find that if I eat not enough sweet fruit, that I don't feel my best, and even when I'm in the situation right now when I have to reduce the costs, so I can't buy all the sweet fruit that I would usually buy, I tried eating more salads or more non-sweet fruit, veggies, perhaps more nuts, but I just didn't feel very good on such diet. So I decided that I'll buy the cheapest sweet fruit that I can afford. And at the moment it's oranges, apples and pears in Hobart. They are okay in the sense that I can still satisfy my hunger and still feel good when eating them. And it is a better option for me than eating some dense fat food or dehydrated food, for example. I also have a purely mathematical explanation why I prefer to follow the natural instincts that I observe rather than some set of rules. Well, when I construct an algorithm, then besides the fact that the algorithm has to work, there is one important consideration, which is the numerical complexity of an algorithm. So, for example, if there is an algorithm that does work but takes too many iterations to reach the solution, then such algorithm is not a good algorithm at all. And similarly, in relation to my choices in raw food, I believe that because there are so many rules that one would have to examine, and well, there's always a risk that what we choose is not an appropriate set of rules. But say, assuming that we have came to a set of rules that is not too bad, it is still much more complex numerically to follow such set of rules rather than follow my natural instinct. Sometimes those who experience some difficulties replace one set of rules with another set of rules without failing to understand that blindly following rules is what led to the problems in the first place. Then they follow the new set of rules and intellectualize in order to explain those new rules in the best possible way. I propose to abandon this approach, and I propose to listen to one's body and then observe the rules. To me, following one's natural instincts is the least resistance method, and besides, there is far more fun in creating the rules than in following them. One day I decided to make a smoothie from bananas and spinach, and I used some spinach that I had grown in my backyard, and I made it and then I tasted it, and it was awful. I nearly choked on it. I really hated this. This smoothie was so bitter and yucky and awful, and I learned that well, if something tastes bitter, if something tastes bad, it's not really good for me. Also, I learned if I feel not so good after having eaten something, that means that this type of food is not good for me either. So, for example, I ate some dehydrated bread, and then I felt very dehydrated after eating that, and I learned that I don't really like dehydrated foods. I prefer fresh, juicy foods such as fruit or tender greens. I also learned by observing my body that hunger is very similar to thirst, and sometimes I check whether I'm really hungry or whether I'm really thirsty, so I have a drink of water just to make sure that that this is not a real hunger. And in my first or second year overall, I would have orange juice or some juicy fruit early in the morning. Now, when I get up in the morning, I only have some water, and I have some juicy fruit later on when I get to work. So by observing my body, I learned that I'm not really hungry early in the morning, but I am thirsty early in the morning. Now, when deciding what is good or bad for me by observing my body, it is important that I know what is, say, a golden standard, that is what I can really expect from my body when I feed my body healthy diet, and when I lead healthy lifestyle. And when I think about my life before, or I'm asking myself, how could I have ignored my body for so long? Well, the fact was that I got used to my body behaving in a certain way when I was feeding my body cooked food diet, and I expected certain things to be normal. When I went raw, things that went away, well, actually, there is a whole inventory of those things that went away. For example, before I had digestion problems, I experienced frequent yeast infections, I had gum problems to the extent of having gum disease. I used to have rough skin on my heels. I had to scrub my heels every week. Otherwise, my heels would hurt me because the skin would get so rough on my heels. Also, I used to feel tired and lethargic during the day, and I had to drink coffees so that I could focus on my highly intellectual work as a mathematician. I had pimples, I had very stinky breath, and also one day, can I mention hemorrhoids? One day what happened, I had one, and I spoke to my close friend about that, and I felt really so upset about that, because that was something new that happened to me, and I never expected that I would get that, that it would happen to me. And yeah, I felt very miserable, and my friend laughed it off. She laughed at me, saying that, "Gosha, it's normal. Everyone gets that, you know, it's a normal part of becoming old." And I was refusing to accept that. Well, on the raw, I never had problems like this, and I refuse these things to be normal anymore. I think once I went raw, those health problems went away, and I have now much better understanding what's acceptable and what's not. So when I'm saying, well, I observe my body, and based on that I choose my action, I'm not completely diminishing the importance of intellect. Intellect is very important, and books and information that I can read is important, because I can learn from that information what is and what is not acceptable. By listening to other people's stories, I learn as well. For example, if someone can go on raw food diet and become free of cervix and breast cancer in 6 months, then this tells me that cancer is not acceptable. It's not a norm when one feeds their body raw food diet. If someone can get free of diabetes in a month by simply eating raw foods, then it's another lesson to me. If someone can get free of fibromyalgia or asthma, there is again a whole inventory of things. In fact, I think it's easier to create the list of health problems or diseases that I have not heard of being helped by going raw, rather than the list of those that have been helped. Now, I would like to go back to the cravings for cooked foods. The name cravings is often used to describe a whole range of desires for cooked food, which are not necessarily cravings in a physical sense. So I like to categorize cravings into different types of desires for cooked food. The physical experience, which is an urge for cooked food, which is a strong feeling, is something that I experience when I detox. This happens always when say I relapse and I have some cooked food, then as a result of eating cooked food, I do experience cooked food cravings. These do not last long, and because I learned through my experience that they do not last long, I learned to go through this experience, and usually within about 2 weeks they disappear, I no longer have any cravings. Desires for cooked foods can be also experienced as a mental experience, something that is happening in our mind rather than in our body, although, well, I do not like separating body and mind, because this is one entity, really. But for now, I'd like to talk about the mental type of cravings. So, for example, we may I may feel down for some reason. Maybe I have experienced some traumatic experience, and if I have not been raw for very long, then it is quite common that I might go back to my old patterns, and I might want for comfort, I might want to eat some cooked food that I used to have in the past when I was feeling down. I learned after experiencing something like this a number of times, I learned that this is just an old habit, and eventually I learned not to have to repeat that pattern. Basically, once I understood the pattern couldn't get hold of me anymore. Often, through association with some old behaviors, some foods, for example, that we used to eat during certain times of the year, we might, during those times of the year, we might experience such desires, mental desires for cooked food. And all this is happening really in my mind only, so it is really not too hard to let go of it. Of course, if, as I said, if I decide, no, I can't have it because I'm supposed to be raw, then I might create a struggle, and because I can't have something I will really, really want, and then I will spiral and spiral until I go and get something cooked. So, so when I experience such mental desires for cooked food because of association of association with some events from the past, I acknowledge them, and I see them, observe them, understand them, and just let them go. Also, there might be some social situations where, say, I go to some party, for example, this coming weekend we are going to some child's birthday party, and we're supposed to bring something with us, meat. Well, obviously we won't bring meat, but maybe we could bring something else. And and when I think about what I could do, I could bring some vegetarian sausages or something like that, then I think, well, do I really want to do it? Well, I could do it, and actually in the past I had situations like this where there was one-off event, and I thought, well, oh, you know, that's not a big deal, I'll just go and bring something, I won't stand out too much, and I'll just join in. But the problem with that was that when I did that, and I thought, you know, this will be just one-off situation, because eating cooked foods actually induces cooked food cravings, it's not worthwhile doing it. So this Sunday, when I go to the party, I'll take only foods that I am comfortable to eat, rather than you know, subject myself to follow some social behaviors that I'm not comfortable with. understanding how cravings work and how I create a struggle by trying to follow some set of rules that are not really mine, and how my life can be effortless if I simply observe my body, observe the world, and make my own choices. It really helped me a lot, and I moved away from wanting to be raw for the sake of my health and beauty, to letting myself free. And letting myself free means doing what's comfortable, doing what feels right. And as it happens, what feels right to me in relation to my diet is eating fruit and raw foods. And enjoying it rather than forcing myself to eat them for the sake of achieving some goal.